Good morning. Please still stand, will you? Perhaps, like me, you've heard the news, you've watched it. There's been a lot that's happened in the last couple of days. We had the attacks, the terror attacks that happened in Barcelona, Spain, and then we also had in Finland. Our world is shaking and quaking, isn't it? It's what Pastor Andrew was saying. There's needs that are out there. It's let alone our needs right here personally with what we're dealing with, but also I never want us to miss what's going on globally in this world. Before we get started and we invite the Lord to help us in our teaching time today, would you join the hand of the person next to you? I'd like to pray. I'd like to pray together for God's grace, for His mercy, His involvement right now in the pain and the suffering of so many lives. Today, Lord, we come to You. We ask, God, for Your divine grace, Your intervention. Lord, You knew this hell would be broken loose. You knew that Satan and his minions would do anything to destroy God's creation. Today, Lord, we're asking for great grace and for the almighty presence to be profoundly known in the lives of so many, Lord. I think about the ripple effect and how many countless, perhaps thousands upon thousands, we today stand here as ones affected, although a world away, it affects us in our world here today. We're asking You, Jesus, do what only You could do. Bring Your healing. Bring Your presence to bear in this circumstance. Give wisdom to all of our leaders. And more importantly, embrace these families. We're asking God right now for the comfort that only You can bring. Chronicles teaches us that if we'll humble ourselves before our God and we seek You with our face, our whole hearts, that we pray, You will hear from heaven and You will heal our land, Your land, this world, we pray. Lead us today in Your truth. Our hearts are open to receive. Our eyes, Lord, to see, and our ears to hear. Let us be changed by Your living word today. I pray blessings on those on the right and the left. Minister powerfully to each one and their families and all that they represent. May Your presence be known, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. It's really good to be with you today. What a joy, Pastor Steve and Tammy, as they've been on vacation. And Pastor Steve called me several weeks ago and invited me into our series on Proverbs, the Road to Wisdom. And he asked me, what would you speak about? And I said, well, I got a kind of a funny thing after a few days I wrote him. I said, what do you think of this title, Rewriting My Spiritual Hard Drive? Can you say with me, Rewriting My Spiritual Hard Drive? We're going to get to that. And that's the analogy I want to work with today as we jump into our sermon. You know, a proverb is a present wisdom that's put in a short, memorable format. Something, a pithy statement, something that has a nugget that's wrapped up. I like to use the word pregnant. It's filled with a lot, just a small, short statement. How many remember maybe your parents or an elder or an uncle, aunt, somebody said this, do as I say, not as I do. How many ever heard that before, right? I could hear my father echoing in my ears. He passed away. He's home with Jesus 20 years ago. But he used to say this so often, son, do as I say, not as I do. Why do you think he said that, by the way? He lived a little bit of life, right? And Solomon is writing, he's writing almost 950 years before Jesus was born. And he collected and he also wrote, because there's a couple, three other authors that are involved in this book of Proverbs. And he thought about it, as I look back on my life, what is it that I would want to leave for my generations to follow? What would be something that would be helpful? You know, you and I can learn from one of two different schools. I'll put on my best Mr. Miyagi. Ah, oh, Daniel-san, right? And here's the thing. We can either learn from the school of other people's mistakes, right? That's, oh, wisdom, Daniel-san, right? I learn from somebody else's mistakes, but I got to be honest with you. My dad would also say to son, will you ever learn? And I don't know about that. It's like, you know, my dad used to say this as well. If your friend jumps off the bridge, you're going to follow him? Anybody else? My mom's little nugget of wisdom that she lived with, she would say this often to us, don't leave the house without new underwear on. Or the second school is this. You can learn this from the school of hard knocks. You choose. You see, that's the choice we have. Choose. Choice. These nuggets of wisdom, King Solomon, as he's looking back at the end of his life, looking back, he wants to write these down. Listen to what he says in Proverbs 8, verses 10 through 11. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold for wisdom. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 3. We're going to be looking at the first six verses. If you have your Bible, you'll be turning there. But to help me set up where we're going in these next few minutes, I'd like us to go ahead and take a look at this YouTube clip.
These days, there are many ways to deal with computer problems. Method one, you could try reasoning with your computer.
Come back up. You don't want to be mean to me. Please come back up. No, give me the thing back. Please give it back. Please. No.
Method two, you could always scream at it. Method three, maybe patience is a virtue. Method four, share the pain. Or you could just call Automatic Geek and have all your computer problems fixed in minutes while having a cup of coffee. No one needs to come to your door, and you don't need to take your computer anywhere. All you need is a PC or a Macintosh computer with an internet connection, and you can have all your computer problems solved for as little as $20. Automatic Geek, it's automatic stress relief for anyone with a computer.
Oh, you did it. Oh my gosh. Oh my. You saved my life. You have absolutely saved my life. Oh, you're a miracle worker. Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Automatic Geek.
You saved my life. You've saved my life. You know, that's what Solomon's writing about. He doesn't want us, God's people, to learn it the hard way. Have you ever found yourself, you know, you believe one thing, you say, I firmly believe this, but yet inside, and my behavior is different than what I confess with my mouth? There's a statement I like. It's, we behave what we believe. Can you say it with me? We behave what we believe. Now, just think with me for just a minute. If you think through your life, if you try to prove that wrong, please come to me and tell me that it doesn't find a way out. But I will tell you this, that I've lived enough life today. When I first heard that statement, I too was rejecting it. I didn't like it. But as I've taken a long, hard look into the mirror of reality, I have found it to be so. I behave what I believe. You know, years ago, I had some problems with my computer. I'm working along, and all of a sudden, the program just shuts down. It crashes. I pick up a file, and it's all weird, and I close it down. I relaunch it again. I reboot my computer. I'm having all these problems. It crashes. Boom. I go in to see the Mac guy, right? And he takes a look at everything, does his diagnostics, and guess what the good news was? He said to me, he says, well, your hard drive, we need to completely erase it, reformat it, and then we need to reinstall the OS and everything on there. And I thought, has anybody ever had to do that before? You know that that is a pain in the rear, right? And he said, here's the big question, right? Have you backed up to your hard drive lately? Anybody heard that before? And inside of me, you have this sinking feeling like... Then I went and paid big bucks to get a nice unit that just automatically backs up, because I'm one of those guys that's not so Mac smart, you know what I mean? Mac dumb is what they need to call me. Have you backed up to the cloud lately? Well, Rob, what are you getting at? What's your point? Well, King Solomon, the wisest guy who ever lived, he cried out as he became king over God's people, following his father David. He said, I need to have discernment on how to lead your people. And God responded to him. He says, because you didn't ask for fame and wealth and power, I'm going to give you exactly what you have. You're going to be the wisest man. I didn't say wise guy. Wisest man that ever lived. And not only that, but I'm going to give you wealth beyond your wildest imagination, more than anyone, but beyond Bill Gates, beyond Jeff Bezos, right? Beyond Amazon, all of that, I'm going to give it to you to this very day. He said towards the end of his life, I want to compile some truth, some wisdom applied. It's that wisdom that we can live by. So here's the point. The truth is before you and I came to Christ, some of us even raised in the church, perhaps you and I, you may be in this process of faith, trying to find your way and what is real, what isn't real. Well, I pray today that you're encountered by the one who is real, who is true, who is the way, who truly is the life. You see, you and I already had some things programmed that's coming into life. Some people call it the sins of the fathers. I call it the genetic DNA code. So I'll give you, for instance, in my family, the Haddam family, I've traced this back to 5 generations now. I've had the privilege of meeting my uncles and aunts and people who'd been around and older folks. And in my family line, my Haddam family line, there is drug addiction, there's pornography addiction, there's also stealing and thievery, right, that I can find through the gene. Didn't skip at all. And as a dad, as my kids were little and in their beds, I would lay hands on, pray to them, because I knew the struggles, even after I came to Christ at 23, that even though I wasn't giving myself to addiction, I know that there's a tendency. I can look at it all I want and say, that will never happen, that will never happen, that will never happen. But I will tell you as I'm standing here, I've had moments in my life where I thought, you know what, it would just be nice to live in nirvana for a minute or two. I want to put the pain on the other side of the room. I don't want the pain living with me right here. Anybody got a witness in the room and know what I'm talking about? But then in the back of my mind, I said, what makes me think I'm strong enough to beat this pull that followed all the way through the bloodline of Adam and Eve, that just pulling me constantly into a place? I can say I believe Jesus is healer, but if I don't know him as healer, I can say that Jesus is deliverer, but if I don't know him as deliverer, I know Jesus in my head is forgiver, but I can tell you at times how heavily I feel so unforgiven. Anybody relate to that? There's something wrong with the files that I've been given. A corrupted hard drive. There's something that's become fragmented, very much like my own personal one. I need Dr. Jesus. I don't need computer geek. I need Jesus. Wouldn't you just love just throw down a $20 bill, got on a phone call, let somebody dial it up, and all my problems will just be all gone away? Man, if that would work, let me tell you, I'd be a millionaire today, a bazillionaire. Maybe I'd be outpacing Jeff Bezos. I don't know. But everybody in this room knows this, just like the Apostle Paul, as he came to grips with this in Romans 7, verses 18 through 20, he said, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing it. It is sin living in me that does it. I like to call this conflict. I can relate to the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul's being honest. He's straight up giving it to me. The things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. I can speak things with my mouth, but yet you see, I still behave what I believe. How many would say, yeah, I get that, I know it. This, by the way, no condemnation. This isn't pointed out. Today I hear an invitation. I hear an invitation to Spirit. Today there's people been walking through things in life, many, 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 some of you for many, many years actually, and there's this conflict that you keep coming up against and you all but want to just throw in the towel. But today is that day. Today is the day of your visitation. Today's the day for Jesus' touch upon your life. Never, 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 never give up. Because he never gives up. That, by the way, is a quote from Winston Churchill. You ready to jump into the text? Rewriting for a new understanding. Can you say it with me? New understanding. Here's Paul again writing. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'd like you to just focus in on this one word for just a moment, the word transformed. Can you say it with me? Transformed. It's the word that we get metamorphosis from. It's the picture of a beautiful butterfly that emerges from this ugly cocoon or coming from this caterpillar-like state. And the Apostle Paul is specifically using a language, meta meaning change, morphe meaning form. And he's not talking about the outward. He's talking about something that takes place spiritually, something transformatively that happens within every single life of a believer, a person that comes to say, I'm going to be a follower of yours, Jesus. I'm going to trust in you, Jesus. By the way, that's an ongoing work. It's not just a once and for all thing that we do. Transformed. We undergo a complete change, which is under the power of God, and we will find this expression now being lived out. When we come to Christ, there's a grand exchange, a great exchange that takes place. This exchange this exchange of my sins for His glory and His righteousness, an exchange of my brokenness for His wholeness, an exchange of my old ways of thinking and living for His new ways of thinking and living. He does this power, but in His power, but why? The reason for this is so that we will become more like Him. I mean, what a gift if you think about this. God Himself is drawing us to a place and He says, I want to do something that's otherworldly. I want to do something that is literally impossible by any human means. But you see, that's why the Scripture teaches, you see, all things are possible in Him. All things. Somebody say it with me, will you? All things. So what part of whatever it is that you and I are wrestling with is in an all thing? Where does it? Where is there room for that? Total change. Change your way of thinking and living. This is only made possible, though, by our humility and the invitation of the Holy Spirit's work in our life to renew and to rewrite the hard drive of our hearts and our minds. So you have your text there, Proverbs 3, 1 through 6. Let's read together. My son or daughter, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commandments. Now, that word command, I'd like to redefine it. I'd like you to redefine it this way. Ways. W-A-Y-S. Ways. You see, really what it is when you talk about the commands, what you're talking about is a way of life. It's a rule of life. And God's saying, God's rule, God's way. If you'll keep my rule or life, if you'll follow and walk in my rule and my way. And then I'd like you to underline in your Bible there, in your heart. Say it with me, in your heart. We're going to see three times where this is now talked about and specifically. Now, the heart, what's important about it, the ancients would say this, that the heart represents the seat of our emotions, our will, our intellect. It makes up who we are, our personalities. What differentiates me, I can maybe have the outward done. I can have some facial reconstruction happen. I can put on a wig, makeup, and I can become and look almost like anybody, right? The truth of the matter is all that is just makeup and artwork. But there's an outward look. But no, it's talking about this inward, and it's the heart, a transformation that takes place. Last week we talked about guarding our heart, didn't we? In chapter 4, guard our heart. From out of it flows the wellspring of life. And here now the writer is setting us up for this. Listen to this now. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, almost like a string of beautiful pearls. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And here's the other thing I'd like you to see. Heart, that sense of our center being who we are and what makes us who we are by our will, our intellect, our emotion, our personalities, right? I can also interchange that word for my way, if you will. The thing that makes Rob specific, the way and the rule of Rob's life. When you get to know him, you go, yeah, he's kind of interesting. He's different. That's Rob, all right. That's Rob, all right, if you know me, right? There's the quirkiness, and then there's just this other part, this weird, I'd like to call it weirdness. Any other joiners with me in the room? You don't leave me hanging there, okay? But now he writes, then you will win favor with and a good name in the sight of God and man. I love that. And then we move into the body. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. That understanding is the will and the way, the writings, if you will, of my own hard drive. On your own understanding in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. It's transform, metamorpho, His way and His power. There's a mind shift. There's a change that takes place. But it's not just this instantaneous. It's as I live with Him and as I grow in Him, as I walk with Him. Listen to Jesus as He teaches in John 8. He says, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. What's the truth that He's talking about? This is what I mean. Before Christ, I had a certain way that I looked at life. Isn't that true? I had a certain set of beliefs, some that worked, I worked very hard to develop, and others that were just there, as I spoke about, the genealogy. Now, I didn't know that some of my so-called truths, in quotes, were not necessarily His truths. How many understand what I'm talking about? You with me? You know, I had a philosophy that I led a lot of people in. I don't know what it is about me, but even as a little kid, I would lead people and not necessarily in the right way all the time. I was like a guy that was an instigator. I was always getting in trouble, or trouble seemed to find me out. Maybe you had a friend like me and you didn't like me, so please don't take it out on me today, okay? But I don't know what it was about me, but I was just always kind of, and I would develop these philosophies, and I would pontificate with these things as if I knew what I was talking about. I really didn't know anything I was talking about. But it sounded good, and I looked good, and other people would just follow that. It's like crazy, right? It was totally bogus, right? Not real. Now, I didn't know that some of it was not true. Now then, I exchanged his truth for my imperfect truth. I became free. Until I make this exchange, I'm not free. Now this is the truth. You know, today, you and I and our children that are being raised, we're in a new culture and a new time. How many would acknowledge that? And they call it this. They call it the age of relativism. The age of relativism. What, Rob, what is that really? So let me just tell you, just very briefly. It's much more deep and complex than this. But to simplify it, it's basically you and I come up with our own philosophy and we call it truth. So for instance, black and white can be black. We could all agree black and white. And I'll say, no, not black. That's chartreuse. Because that's what I believe, so it's my truth. And who are you to tell me what my truth is? You're not to deny my truth. No, you see, the other thing is I'm working through an old filtering system, kind of like a filter that's been developed very well over time. And today, our children and you and I are bombarded with this relativistic thinking all the time. It feels very empowering, though, to our flesh. That's the whole thing. My truth is my truth. Who are you to tell me what my truth is? If I say it's true, it's true. If I don't believe that, then therefore I don't believe that. Why should you struggle through my belief system? You know, I started thinking about this. This is why this Bible right here is under so much attack. But I started thinking about, you know, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, if you study it out, I've kind of done a lot of study on this to try to disprove some things, particularly in my early years in faith. And I want to tell you something. The authors, and by the breath of the Holy Spirit, it is humanly impossible. It's like for us, did we get here by the Big Bang? Is it a young earth philosophy or is it an old earth theology? What do I believe? You see, God knew exactly what he's doing. He said, "If Psalm 119, if you just go through that book and just underline his laws, his ways, his truth, his word, over and over and over, barely even get past a verse. David is, oh, I meditate on your law all day long. Oh, it brings delight. I meditate. I memorize your word." It's like because God knew that there needed to be some infusion of his healing touch and grace to press out and to rewrite all of the garbage and all of the fragmentation and all the brokenness. Because my flesh, you see, it wants to be revived. And it's calling out and beckoning me. Because if I have something that it seems like I have a higher truth or a higher knowledge, I'm empowered. I'm in control. I feel better than you. I may not ever say that. I walk with humility. But really inside of me, I know that I'm better than you. Why? Because I have this superior knowledge. There's only one that's true. Only one that's true. How many just stop for a minute, take a deep breath? We're going to get faster here. So I needed you to take a breath because you needed that. But let me ask you this question. How many are just check in with me right now? How many are catching this? You feel the conflict? You guys feel the conflict? Paul, things I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, the very things that I do. See? The warring. This truth, I need to have some things erased or exchanged. There needs to be something that happens. This leads me into our second point. Ready? The rewriting for new definitions. Say it with me, new definitions. Paul writes, those who become Christians become new persons. Eugene Peterson says this, brand new. Say it with me, will you? Brand new. Wait a minute, I look in the mirror, I know what's going on with this guy. I know what's going on with me. But the Bible says that I become brand new. I don't look brand new. I don't feel brand new. I don't think brand new. There's some old stuff that tries to dress itself up, put a little perfume on it, and you know, some makeup, and it tries to present itself as brand new, but it's just the same old ugly guy with some makeup and some perfume. You got what I'm saying? I have to come to grips with what the reality of all of this is. This new definition becomes brand new. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone. A new life has begun. So here it is. The old is gone. Did you hear it? The old is gone and new begins. There's an exchange that happens, a great exchange that takes place. And here's what I'd like to get at just these next couple minutes, just for a second. Have you ever noticed this before? That there's someone trying to talk to you about something, and they're speaking truth to you. They may not be using the language of truth, but you know that they're caring, they're loving. But yet, inside of you, there's this conflict. It's like, I'd like to say it this way, does not compute, does not compute, does not compute. You smile, and you look good, but inside, you got this thing going on. Because there's an auto filter that's already been in place. You and I have grown up with it. This leads me to, I remember a meeting I had with a young guy years ago. He was going through some stuff, and this internal struggle didn't match up with the external. In fact, you know, you and I struggle with this all the time if we're going to be honest about it. We're taught how to look good and how to sound good, but really to get down and dirty with what's really going on, that's really the hard work. The easy work is putting on new clothes, perfume, a little makeup, a little new hairdo, whatever it is, a few little words and phrases, and we're ready to go. We're out the door, right? But really, when we really want to get down to it, it's the internal stuff. And this is the struggle in our Christian walk, isn't it? So I'm talking to my friend, and I'm trying to bring him some truth, just trying to talk about things. And his eyes were shining, he was nodding, he was smiling, thankfully, everything. But his eyes were doing this little flicker, and I could hear his mind, not literally, but it's like, does not compute, does not compute, does not compute, does not compute. And I was trying to penetrate that old filter to trick it, to have his defense fields come down, because I knew his files needed some rewriting. There was a corruption that had taken place for many, many decades in his life, and he's at a place, but yet does not. He had a built-in filter that needed some cleansing to that as well. You hear it here week in and week out. A truth comes in, and so we are on auto sometimes, and we don't absorb it. We don't say, well, what do I really believe about? What do I accept that or do I receive it? You and I subconsciously are making these nanosecond calls all the time. So here's one. It's like, do you love me? Yeah, I love you a lot. But you see, the thing is go, I don't really believe they love me. You are a child of God. You're thinking, I sing that song, but no, not really. See, there's a filter in there. I don't feel like a child of God. I don't look like a child of God. They look more like a child of God than I look like a child of God. Why is that? Why does that person next to me look more like a daughter or a son than I do? I don't look like a daughter or a son, because if you really knew who I was, right? How many know what I'm talking about? See, there's a conflict that's going on. Transformation needs to happen. There needs to be a new understanding. And here's the problem with this, okay? Here it is. This is really a straightforward attack on this thing. You see, you and I, this is what we want to do. We love living in this space. We want to add to, we want to paste to, we want to edit, we want to copy and then paste to something that's already there. But we are really tough on ourselves about replacing it or trashing it. Can you say it with me, trashing it? See, we have these files collected, and we go, no, I just want to keep that in a nice place. I figure that if I just keep it in that file right there, that's going to be okay. I don't want to trash that. I may need that someday. And this is all subconsciously going on inside of our heads. There's a word I'd like to give us right now. It's a big word. It's syncretism. Can you say it with me, syncretism? You know, when I got familiar with this word, it really helped describe some things for me. Do you know what the meaning of syncretism is? It's the combining of different beliefs, the merging of different inflectional forms. I just simplify it this way. It's conflict. Here it is. Can oil and water mix? Somebody answer me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Does oil and water mix? No, it's impossible, right? You do that, what? Hey, I had a friend one day who loaned his car. He had an old diesel car. To a friend. The friend did not know it was diesel, but it was low on gas. And guess what he did? He goes to the gas station and he put regular gas in a diesel. Guess what didn't work? Did not work. Hey, did it mix? Somebody say it with me. No. Doesn't mix. We have a lot of analogies for that. Doesn't mix. The syncretism. Now, here's the thing. What we want to do is we want to blend these things. In fact, the Bible says a lot about it, doesn't use the word. Children of Israel, what they wanted to do, they wanted to use all of what was beneficial, what they perceived as such, within the world in which they lived in. So they had a little of this kind of worship and a little of that kind of worship. And they gave themselves to this God and to that God. But yet they had the most holy God because he was on Mount Zion there in Jerusalem. And so he sat higher than all. So what did the others have? So we intermixed. We intermingled. Now, here's the truth of it. I believe that there's a physical sickness, and I believe there's a spiritual sickness that happened. And it's because we refuse to make choices. We refuse to embrace the fullness of what God has as a truth. Stick with me for just a second, will you? Think with me. Now, on a physical side, if right now we got out of here and I said, that's on me, and we go to Tommy Burger, and I said, get a double whatever you want, and double onion, double jalapeno, and double chili on that thing, right? But don't have one, have two, because I can tell you're hungry. Oh, by the way, throw in some chili cheese fries. Just stack them up there too, right? And if that's not enough, I want you to drink a quart of whatever your favorite mixture is, okay? And glug, glug, glug. Now, we're going to go get some dessert. We're going to drive to the Cheesecake Factory. I don't want you just to have a slice of cheesecake. I want you to have the whole cheesecake because I just love watching you enjoy that meal. And we're going to go home. And by the way, Costco's on the way. Let me go get one of their famous hot dogs. Little sriracha on there. Guess what? How many believe at the end of the day that you're going to be what? Somebody help me. Somebody louder. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Now, we know that to be true. Is it not right? You tell your children and your friends, you eat that, you're going to get sick. I'm lactose intolerant. Spiritually speaking, a little of this, a little of that. We listen, we read, we're undiscerning in so many different ways. I tested this once with my own church in Santa Barbara years ago. And I love all of these, and I'm not going to mention names, but I mentioned all these radio personnel. I've met several of them. I've studied under a couple of them. And I said, do you know what their theology is regarding the Holy Spirit? Do you know what their theology is about end time? Do you know what their theology is about cessationism? And that's, by the way, whether or not the Holy Spirit's still alive and working in people's lives today. Do you know what they believe? No. I said, well, let me give you a rundown. So I just took four huge personalities, authors, which I am not, and I went through all of those things. And they said, I didn't know that. And I said, unless you listen carefully, that's why Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the voice of the Spirit is speaking. And I said, there's your problem. Boom. It doesn't mix. You just can't eat everything and think, well, I'm going to be whole and I'm going to be healthy. You and I can become spiritually sick. Isn't the enemy just great? Why? Because we're the American people. We need to be empowered. We need to be in control. I need my own philosophy. What's good for me is good for me. If it's true to me, it's true to me. Who are you to say what I should or should not? That's not me. It's like, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him. And He will make your what? So what's the result? Sickness. Now, here it is. We got a conflict. Can you feel it? How many feel the conflict in the room? Some of you aren't really happy with me right now. That's okay. I'm not happy with me either. Janet's not happy. She got me out of the house early today. So I'll be here with you. You know, here's the thing about Christianity. Here it is about church. You see, when we go through all of these sick phases and maybe we have our bouts and our ins and outs and we experience something like Paul, the things I don't want to do, etc. This is what happens. Test me in this. See. You see, I'm smart enough because I'm reading my Bible. I do what they tell me to do. I'm checking off my boxes. I'm fasting. I'm praying. I'm giving. I'm serving. But yet still inside, when I look in the mirror, the inside's not matching with the outside. The outside's not matching with the inside. How many would be honest with me today? Just say, yeah. Here, I got both hands up. See, transformation. Something's not happening. That transformative work. What? And then we try harder. And here's the key. This is what we succumb to. It's called behavior modification. Much of Christianity today is modification, behavioral modification. Well, wait a minute. Maybe you've had the same argument with God. Haven't I served? Haven't I done? Haven't I? Whatever it is, and you're going, God is faithful. Well, why should I? Well, I don't want to get Him mad at me, so I've got to leave close enough, but not too close. I gotta know Him, but just keep it a little bit at a distance. So I've learned how to work my way around, and I behaviorally, if you will, get shaped. That's why Eugene Peterson, don't let the world, don't let this world called Christian living form you into its mold. I didn't say that first service. You need to edit that, by the way. Pastor Steve hears this, I will never be back again. How many right now, I'm not asking you, just can you let the force field down the filter? Some of this right now bothers some of us, but you know it to be true. And you know what the problem is? I know a lot about God, but I really don't know God. I know a lot about church, but I'm not really the church. I call it this, Christian chameleon living. I know what it is to be a chameleon. I hate rejection. I don't like people mad at me. I just want to get along. I want to fit in. Listen to what Paul says, Eugene Peter the Medici. He says, don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes. You've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of the new way of life, here it is, the way of life, is made by the Creator and with His label on it. And the old fashions are now obsolete. They're not just out of style. They're non-existent. They're obsolete. I'd like to close with these last words. You have them on your outline. And would you say this verse with me together, really? We should have it memorized. Ready? 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make paths straight. Rewriting our spiritual hard drives. Paul, Solomon looking back, is saying, here's some things I want you to get. The wisest guy that ever lived, wealthiest guy that ever lived, more possessions than any of us could possibly imagine, he's writing. It's like my dad. Don't do as I've done, but do as I say. Get wisdom, whatever it costs, get wisdom. Grab a hold of that strand of unbelievable pearls and drape them around like a beautiful piece of jewelry. Get wisdom. First word that I want to pull out is the word trust. Can you say it with me? Trust. In the Hebrew, it's the idea of throwing yourself completely down, lying extended on the ground, casting all hope for the present and the future upon another, finding shelter and security there. I thought of this. It's like this exercise. Some of you have done it. It's a team building exercise, corporate kind of thing. And you get up on a chair or you get up on a table. If you're doing this on an outdoor thing, they get you up on a log. And you're to stand there like this and your whole team gets around you. And you're elevated off the ground. So it's like this right here. So Troy, you're supposed to catch me in just a second, okay? So here it is. So come on, where's my team? Come on, guys. So how am I going to trust you? You weren't there to carry me. You didn't catch me, right? Now, I wish I had weeks, because I don't. But this huge subject of trust is a big one. I recognize that. And why? Because all of us have had trust violated. We all know what it is. So here's the filter. Here it is. It's like, wait a minute, I can never trust. Some of us have made a vow like that. I will never trust anyone or anything. Well, then let me ask you this. How hard has it been for you to trust God? You see the filter? You see how it works? Now you're catching that, right? Okay. Trust. My wife, when we were first dating, Mary, we've been together. We've been dating since she was 16. I was 17. I wish I was still 17, 18, 20. I mean, time goes like this, right? And I would say to her like this, early on in marriage, I'd say, honey, just trust me. And she'd kind of go, not so much. She wouldn't say it that way. Her eyes, her mouth would be saying, okay. But her eyes were saying, does not compute. You guys get what I'm saying? Now, as we began to live and I began to be more truthful and my integrity and the character of who was being developed in me didn't come to the Lord. We were married 3 years before I came to the Lord. So you can imagine without Jesus and then, you know, what do we do without Jesus, really? Think about it. So over time now, if I say to her, babe, I know I'm trying to explain and there's just a concept. Sometimes there's things managed. Her gifting is so much different than mine. It's right because we're a good balance. But she's learned when I say, hey, babe, just trust me on that. There's not even a does not compute. She goes, oh, okay. It's like this ready. It's more than just ready and willing. She's just ready to jump. She says, okay. Why? Because she's gotten to know me. And this is not an excuse to just kind of pass over the brokenness and the despair and everything that's happened. Trust. Second, would you say it with me? Lean. Lean. The word in Hebrew is sha'an. It's to support oneself as through leaning for assistance. It represents the idea of resting one's weight upon something else. I think about it this way. Leaning like a crutch. Now, there are times when we need things because we are in a place where we need assistance for a season of time. Right? We need that. But if we continue leaning upon whatever it may be for a season of time, then guess what ends up happening? We become dependent upon it. Sometimes we lean upon our intellect, we lean upon our financial security, we lean upon our status in life, we lean upon our looks, we lean upon our stature, our strength, we lean upon the job that we have, we lean upon whatever it might be, the thing that's keeping our stuff going, the medication, whatever it is, we become leaning. Here's the truth about it, though. The more we lean upon that, we think we're using it, it actually is using us. And you know, you don't even know the time and the moment when it happens. You don't know where that transfer happens. You don't even know. It's like, all of a sudden, it's like, did I just grow another appendage? Why am I living with this thing all the time? That's why the Bible says, Jesus says that I'm the burden bearer. Cast your cares. Take those things that you've been carrying and weighing on. It's just like that. Lean. But again, it's this whole thing of trust, isn't it? The next word is acknowledge. Can you say with me, acknowledge? Yada. To know, meaning to know by observation, investigation, reflection, or firsthand experience. The highest meaning of this word in the Hebrew, in the spiritual context, it suggests an intimacy with God in prayer, worship, and every detail of life. But here it is. Intimate contact as in marriage. My notes, I wrote one word there to help me remember it. Intimacy. Intimacy. Pastor years ago, he would say it this way, into me see. Intimacy. That's really scary for a lot of us. So my illustration with Janet and I know you say trust the Lord with every part of my way, my heart, my life. Trust the Lord with all your heart, my way. Don't lean to my way, my understanding, my belief system, my structures, my strength, my whatever it is, don't. But, Lord, I don't know how to do that. I want to. Your word says to do that. Solomon, the wisest guy ever lived. But if I'm going to confess, I don't know how to do that. There needs to be a fresh work that happens. Would you agree? And listen to the outcome. Make straight. As we do, he makes straight. The term means to make smooth, straight, right. It includes the idea of removing obstacles that are in the way. It also it suggests an intensity and an intentionality. Remember how I said a few minutes ago, it's not just a one for all, I do this once? Here, let me just rephrase it. Continue trusting with all your heart in an ongoing, continual way at all times through every circumstance. Continue in an ongoing, continual way. Don't lean in the things that once comforted you, the one thing that made you strong and your will and your way, your understandings, the way of life, the rule of life. Don't in an ongoing, continual way, don't rely and lean on those. But in an ongoing, continual way, you continue to lean in and become intimate with the one who is our Creator in an ongoing, continual way, and He will make, as I do, in life's concerns and life's challenges. It's like He goes before whatever may be high. He starts to whatever may be a point of a tripping point or a stumbling point. No temptation is taking you, but it's common to man. He gets into the middle of all of that, and He begins to move that. Why? So that our way is His way, and our way becomes right, and it becomes strong, and it becomes holy. How many are in for that today? So here it is, as I close. Solomon, the wisest guy who ever lived, looking back over his life, is the voice of wisdom calling out to us today. Listen to these words. Your healing is found in Him. Clarity of mind, body, and soul is only found in Him. Trust Him. Lay every aspect of your life down in His arms. You can trust Him. Don't pick up something or lean on something other than Him. Watch and see what He has for you. This is wisdom calling out to us today. Would you stand, put your Bibles together, down, and I'd like us to stand. I'd like to close in these last moments together, and I'd like to pray. I had two or three people come up to me as I walked around after our last service, and I knew that this was done in openness, honesty, and it was really not, it was meant to be reflective of how they were responding. And this is what this one woman said to me. She says, that really stirred some things. That really brought conviction to me. And her husband said, yeah, but it's the right kind, right? And I said, yeah. I said, but here's the thing. It's the Lord in the middle of it, because He never calls us anywhere that He's not there in power and in person, it's very personal, very intimate with Him. He never lays on us something that we're unable. I may feel like it because it's so unnatural out of this. Some of us in this room, I feel that this earlier I said it, we've been struggling. We've learned to conform. Behavioral modification. And you know that there's been a break. You don't ever want to deny God or anything, but inside there's been this conflict going on. The things I want, the things I don't do. The things I don't want to do, the very things I do. You know that warring that's going on. But you know exactly as I've been speaking too, the Holy Spirit's been just coming right into this one. You're kind of like, some of you want the filters working. You want to dismiss it because it seems too simple to you. It seems like that can't be it. Don't do that. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit, because we prayed and He's answering. Whatever it is He's highlighting, that heavenly highlighter, it's right there by faith. You begin to lean on that. You lean into it is rather I'd like to say. I'd like to lead us in prayer. I specifically took time because I felt the Holy Spirit was leading us to close in prayer, but I would never want to lead you somewhere that you want to go. I don't want you to say words that aren't your words. I don't want you to say amen to anything that you don't amen. In other words, I want the filters down and I want us to be present and I want us to be right before, not before me, but all of us before the living God. How's that sound? I'd like to lead us in prayer. So with you standing, would you just posture yourself with hands open, heads tilted back, just eye closed, nobody looking around. It's a personal moment between you and God, me and my God. So, Lord, here we are, completely open to You. We confess that we need our spiritual hard drives reformatted. We need healing from the fragmented and corrupted files of our souls. We see how we filtered out the things that we didn't want to deal with and attempted to keep some of the old files with the new. We understand today that this just won't work. And ultimately will cause greater damage to our souls. Lord, heal us. I'd like you to just say that with me. Lord, heal us. Lord, forgive us. And exchange the old for the new. Help us. Now I'd like to personalize it, okay? Help me and lead me to become all that You have for me. I ask this in Jesus' precious name.